I'm not going to pull the full screen, so also I look at it, the results, this one is better. Okay, now let's look at what we had before, and you can see the questions we have. That's the 50x plus 40y. We did a sensitivity analysis before, and this page provide everything together. You know, you can see the answer report. The answer report, there are a couple of information, you know, pieces of information that's important. You can look at the binding and non-binding. What's that mean by binding, non-binding? Look at this graph. Equation number one or constraint number one, number two, they are binding. You can see, because the optimal solution at this point is tied by the two equations. And equation number 3 and 4 are not binding. Why? Because you can see equation number 3 and number 4, the bottom over here, they are no effect to the optimal solution at this point. Okay? So that's the information you may need to look at when you have a solver provide answers for you. So that piece of information is important besides the answers. You know, the answers we called the solutions. Okay, so that's X and Y. And besides that, those binding and non-binding is important for you. Okay, and then we look at the limit report. I personally see at this point the limit report has limited, you know, kind of information behind it. You can see it provide one X equals zero in the lower limit. What's the optimal solution going to be? When it is in the upper limit, what's the optimal solution going to be? So I provide two examples over here, just see how those numbers come out, you know. So and then we look at the sensitivity report. That's the one we put our time over, and you can see the first table on top over here in the middle, adjustable cells, and that refers to the change of objective function coefficient, for example, 50 and 40. You know, if they changed, what's the impact on the solution? This point is a solution. When the objective function coefficient 50 or 40 changed, what's the impact on this solution, on this point, X and Y? Okay? And the second one is, what's the impact on the objective function value? So those two things can be answered by analyze this portion, you know, adjustable cells. So you can see, based on our knowledge right now, if the coefficient for X currently 50, if 50 change in between the lower limit, which is 20, and the upper limit, which is 66 and 2/3, as far as it is within that range, this line, this objective function line, going to turn around this optimal solution. You know, clockwise, counterclockwise, clockwise. But the optimal solution will not change. This point, A, capital A, 12 sevenths and 15 sevenths, is still the optimal solution point. But the optimal function value, objective function value, going to change. Why? Because the objective function value is determined by the coefficient of X multiplied by the X value plus coefficient of Y multiplied by the value of Y. So even the X and the Y in this case won't change, but when you change the value of, you know, coefficient, that 50 becomes 35 something, and then the value of the objective function value is going to change. Okay, so this part, you know, if you look at the bottom portion of the constraints in the sensitivity report, you can see there are a couple of things we need to pay attention. One is the range, allowable increase or decrease. You can see for the binding constraints, the equation number one, number two, they are binding. Okay, for the binding constraint in this case, you got the lower and upper limits. What's that mean? That means look at equation number one. That's equation number one. Okay, if equation number one refers to constraint number one, production time. If production time increase, this line going to move up. we have more production time. Look at the intersection of equation number one and equation number two. The intersection is over here right now. So the optimal solution move up to this point. So the objective function line right now still have position to move up. So you can see, you know, this line can move up just a little bit, see? So that's why the objective function value is going to increase. How much increase? How much increase? It's given by the optimal solution currently is 171.37. That's this one. But if we increase the right-hand side of equation number one, equation number two, this one, equation number one, okay? Equation number one, okay? For example, by one unit, the optimal solution is going to be 171.37 plus one unit of right-hand side increase for equation number one multiplied by the shadow price of equation number one, which is 717. Okay? If you increase 5 units, you use 171.37, the current optimal solution, plus 5 times 717. That's going to give you the new optimal solution, the new objective function value. If that upper bound, if it is still within the upper bound. Okay? So that's important. Okay? Now, let's look at the allowable increase, okay? In this case, we can increase up to 10, see, because, you know, allowable increase is 4, currently just 6, so 6 plus 4, you got a 10. So I can increase the equation number 1 right-hand side as much as to 10, no more than that, okay? So that means this line, I can increase this line, wait a second. I can increase this line up to 10, that's this point. Intersect on the y-axis. I can increase that much. I cannot increase more than that. Why? If I increase more than that, you can see. Now, the intersection of the line number one, number two, is not going to be in the first coordinate. There's no intersection between those two lines within the first coordinate. There's no intersection. So the relationship changed. So that's that, you know, the feasible region is changed. It's not defined by equation number one, number two anymore, so you have to resolve the problem. It's a new problem. And this equation becomes redundant because the original equation number two is more restrictive. This equation pointing downward. But this equation number two is more restrictive. It's within it. It's also pointing downward. So this one does not have effect anymore. Okay? When this line number one decreasing, okay, that's the current position, decreasing. You see, the feasible region reduced. So the intersection, the optimal solution becomes this point. So the objective value, objective function value, you know, going to be evaluated at this point. Okay, wait a second. So you know, I try to grab this point. See? So that will give me the optimal solution. So this point is optimal solution right now. Okay? So this is what is the value for the optimal solution? For example, if the right-hand side of equation number one decreased by 2 units, see, we can decrease as much as 3. Okay? That's 3. And, you know, if we decrease by 2 units, and the optimal solution is going to be 171.37 minus 2 times 717. You do not need to find this optimal solution, but you know the objective function value. By using the current optimal solution minus the number of units decreased multiplied by the corresponding shadow price. So the meaning of the shadow price refers to the contribution of the constraint, one piece of resources for that constraint to the optimal solution. Okay, so that's the for the bounding constraint. Okay, now for the non-bounding constraint, look at the report here. Equation number 3 and 4 are non-bounding. Equation number 3 and 4, you can see 3 and 4, they are non-bounding. Okay, look at the report over here, they can decrease as much as they want, infinitely. Why? Because you can see, any decrease over this line, you know, has no effect. Because my objective solution is over here. No effect. Okay? But, it cannot increase too much. Look at here. Allowable increase 4, and allowable increase over here is a 3 point something, is 1.57, you know. So you can see the allowable increase or decrease are limited. Why? Look at this line. If I increase this, the feasible region is going to be reduced. You can see this line, okay? The feasible region is reduced. But as far as it does not touch anything close to this objective function line, okay? This solid line is objective function line, okay? As far as it does not touch this line, everything is okay, okay? However, look at this increase, okay? If you increase further, see? If you increase further and further, the feasible region is going to be redefined. Eventually, this line may take over. Okay? If you move further. So this line is going to intersect at this point with line number 2. So line number 1 won't have effect anymore. And then you move further. Okay? So that's why, you know, for line number 3, you can increase, that's W's number 3, you can increase to 6. Number 4, you can increase to no more than 1.57. So you can increase just that much. Okay, so that's the point. If you increase too much, look at here. If you increase too much over here, this line number 3 is upward because it's greater than sign over here. It's greater than sign. Okay, it's upward. And the line number 1, number 2, or equation number 1 and 2, downward. So those are in different directions. So now we do not have feasible region anymore. Because line number 3 and then 1 and 2, they do not share any common region. Okay, so no feasible solution. That's why you can see the allowable increase for non-binding constraint for minimization problems exist. But the lower limit does not. Okay. So, and if you look at the details, and I provide a couple of examples over here. So this one, look at how X change impact the change of the solution and objective function value. So you can see when X decrease, and initially we started with this point. When X decrease, initially, that's the original objective function line. Okay. When X coefficient decrease, the line becomes flatter. Okay, the slope is smaller. Okay, so this line corresponds to coefficient of x equals 35. Okay, so that's this line. Now, if you move this line over to the optimal solution, the optimal solution is still optimal, but the value of the objective function decreased because the margin for x decreased. Okay, when the coefficient of x decreases to 20, deteriorate further. This middle line refers to that situation. If you move this line over, this portion overlapping with segment small a to capital A. So this portion becomes alternative optimal solution. Every single point along the line, this segment is going to be optimal solution and share the common optimal objective function value, which is in this case 120. Okay, so if you use this capital A point, 12 sevenths and 15 sevenths, multiply by, you know, x coefficient 20 and y coefficient 40, you know, use this equation, you're going to get 120. Okay, identical to if you evaluate just at this point 0 and 3. So 20 times 0, that's x. Okay, plus 40 times y, which is 3, give you 120. Okay, so that's this line, and you know, if you look at here, so you can see that, you know, that's what happened. Okay, so now, and this line, the last one, this line is given by using the coefficient equals 5. Okay, so initially it's got to be here. So we draw this line by setting again, you know, by setting the x equals 0, y equals to 2.5, and then, you know, setting y equals 0, so x equals, you know, 100 divided by 5 give you 20, so it's very far over here, so that's this line. You can see this portion becomes feasible. So for a maximization problem, I can still move up to this point. So that's what happened. So I can move this up to this point. So the optimal solution now becomes 0.3 in point small a. Okay. Everybody okay with that? So that's why the optimal solution now is 120. Okay. It's the optimal solution is different now. So it's not the original optimal solution, capital point A, is not part of the optimal solution anymore. Okay, it's totally different question. Okay, so just be careful on that part. And then we look at when the get rid of this. So when the objective function coefficient for x increase, from a business perspective, the margin for x product x increased, we have a tendency to produce more x to sell more x, okay? So and sell less y, or produce less y. That's exactly the case. When we have coefficient increase to 60 from 50, okay, 20% increase, this objective function line initially is over here, that's objective line, okay? When the slope increase, when the objective function coefficient increase, and then we're going to see that the curve turn clockwise, okay? So you can see, turn clockwise. So if I just grab this line, you know, take it, put them back, okay? So that's this line. You know, that's one of them. Okay, see, that's the one. You know, the last one we have the largest coefficient. But look at, you know, the first one. You know, this one. This one corresponding to this line corresponding to the one with x equals 60. See, if I put them over here, it does not change the solution. It does not change the solution. Only the objective function value. As you can see here, solution still be capital A point, but the answer is 188 for sevens now. Okay, so let me put them back. If we use the coefficient of x equals 66 2/3, that's the middle line. That's this line. Okay, so if you move this over here, you can see this segment from capital A to D overlapping with the constraint number 2. So this portion becomes alternative optimal solution. Any point along the line going to be optimal solution. The optimal solution going to be different because each point has a different coordinates of x and y. Okay? But the objective function value going to be the same, 180. It doesn't matter where it's going to be, the objective function value is going to be 180. So easiest way might be just evaluate this point. X equals 3, and the coefficient equal to 66 2/3, and multiply over, and you're going to get, I think it's probably 200, you know, I forget. Does anybody get a calculator? You know, I see 3 times, you know, yeah, I think it should be 200, okay? So that's, this one should be 200. Yeah, I just kind of find, you know, it should be 200, okay? Okay, now, and then when the coefficient becomes 75, this line further turn, that's this line, okay? So let's just grab this line and see what happened, okay? So let me take this line back. Let me take this line back. Okay, so I go ahead and grab this, you know, the last one. That's this line, the last one, okay? So this one, if I grab this one over here, see what happened. See what happened? You see this portion between line number 2 and the objective function line, there is a small gap in between. So that means the objective function line can still move outward. So that means this capital A is not the optimal solution anymore. So the optimal solution is at point D. Okay? So it's a different problem. So we have a different solution. Okay? So that is 3-0. Okay? And the function, the objective function value equals 225. So this one is 3-0. If you look at, okay? So this one is 3-0. See? So that's what we're gonna get. You okay, everybody? So that's how, you know, the change in X increase or decrease, the impact on the optimal solution, and also on the objective function value. Go ahead, May. Okay, now, the easiest way, I put some small notes over here. You set S equals 0, initially we set equals 100. So S equals 0, Y going to be 2.5. So that's why I put everything is over here. Started over here. Okay? Now, when I set Y equals 0 in this equation, Y equals 0, my S is going to equals 100 divided by 50, 100 divided by 60, 100 divided by 66 2/3, 100 divided by 75, give me 2. I can see clearly, you know, it's 1.5 and 5, and, you know, that's our answer. So let me read that to you, okay? So, it's I can't read it, you know, it's too small, but it's probably good. Go ahead and use your calculator, compute 100 divided by 60, what do you get? So it's 1.3, 1.3 something. 100 divided by 66, 2/3, you got probably 1.2 something, okay? And 100 divided by 75, you know, you got another answer. So that's how, you know, that's how I got these numbers, okay? You can see that's how I draw these three lines, okay? Okay, now, 66, that's a good point, okay? For me, I arbitrarily selected. No reason, okay? But in order to let me to... I arbitrarily selected those numbers with a purpose. The purpose is I look at it, the lower and upper bound, okay? Because the sensitivity report for X indicates the 50 can change, the coefficient of X can change from 50 minus 30 is 20 to 50 plus 16 2/3, which is 66 2/3. That's how I selected those numbers. I include one value which is on the boundary. Okay, that's what I did. I want to show you the impact. Because when it is on the boundary, we have a portion of alternative optimal solution. Okay, so that's what happened. So in your case, I asked you to compute the boundary point. And then, you know, you compute the optimal function value. But be careful, that solution on the boundary actually is very likely an optimal, alternative optimal solution. You may have a bunch of optimal solutions at that point. Okay. Answer the question, May? Yeah. And that's what happened to the X decrease. And then you see when the X increase, and then we look at a summary of it. And then Y change. When Y change, and what happened is, you know, the slope you look at on this side, when Y decrease, when coefficient of Y decrease, the line going to turn this way. When the coefficient of Y increase, the line going to turn this way. Okay? So we started by setting this equation equals 100, and then 100 divided by 50, you got a 2. So we draw the lines from this point. And then the line could turn this way. But if you move that point over to the optimal solution, it's going to turn this way or this way. Okay? So that's what happened to the increase or decrease. You can see, you know, we draw the line initially it's over here, okay? This line corresponding to y equals 35, that's this line, okay? If you move this line over to the optimal solution, no change to the optimal solution, but the objective function value changed. That's become 165/7. When y coefficient equals 30, that's the middle line, okay? So this line, you move this line outward because it's a maximization problem, and then this line, the middle line, going to overlap with this portion. This portion, okay? So I can show you this portion. So the middle line is this one, okay? So if I move them over here, you can see that's exactly going to overlap. Wait a second, I did not want to turn, so I want to kind of grab this, you see? So that's going to overlap with this portion. So this portion becomes alternative optimal solution. When the line further turns, that's this line, when the y coefficient of y, when the margin for y plus y decreasing further, it's not attractive anymore. So that's why you have a line like this. Okay? When you move this line over here, this line is going to cut into the feasible region at the bottom. So you're going to have a feasible region over here. So you can still, the objective function line can still move outward, reach point D, which is optimal. So essentially what I said is, we're going to make all X no Y's because the margin for Y further deteriorated. Okay, so if you want to see this, you can look at, you know, so let me just take this point back and then grab this point, okay? You can see? So now, you know, I can still move. This portion is feasible region. My line for objective function is not at the extreme point, so I can still move. So I move this point, it's done, okay? So that's the when the y change decrease, when y increase. When y increase, the slope going to be flatter. Okay, slope going to be smaller. So when you have 70, you know that's going to be this line. When you have 100, going to be the middle line. When you have 140, going to be this line. Okay. So you can see, you know, when you have 140, you know, this line is going to be flatter. So you cut into this portion of the feasible region. So the optimal solution is going to be A. How do we interpret the meaning? When the margin for Y improves dramatically, we're going to lean to produce more Y's. That's why, you know, we kind of turn this way and lean to more Y. Eventually, we make all the Y's no X. So that's what happened. Again, you know, as far as we within the range, you know, in this case, going to be from, you know, current situation to 100. As far as we do not be more than 100, okay, the current solution still be the current solution, even though the optimal objective function value increase. You know, the solution does not change. The objective function value did. Okay, so that's what happened. Anybody, any question? And then we look at the right-hand side. See, for the right-hand side, we have two scenarios, two situations. One is the binding constraint. Another one is non-binding constraint. Line number one, number two are binding constraints because the solution tied by those two equations or two constraints. But equation number three and four, constraints three and four, are non-binding because they do not have effect at this point on the solution. Okay? As we said before, but equation number three and number four, they can decrease as much as they want, no problem. But if they increase, you have to be careful. Because if they increase, overtake, you know, the optimal solution point, and then the situation will totally change. Go ahead, Daniel. Repeat that one more time. Then this question is, in this case, we have a maximization problem. Okay, so equation number one, number two are bounded. But if we simply change this problem to minimization problem, and then yes, line number three and four, you know, point capital B going to be bounding point, going to be optimal solution point. Yes. Okay. In that situation, line number one, number two are non-bounded. Okay. So again, when we analyze the effect of right-hand side, we do need to take into account whether or not the equation is bounded and non-bounded. Okay. So that has something to do with the results. Okay. So again, when we look at the change of the right-hand side, okay, and we evaluate two things. One is the change in the optimal solution. Where is the optimal solution point? That's number one. Number two, what's the value of the objective function? Okay, so in this case, for example, if you look at this line number one, okay, this line number one initially is overlapping with this, okay. If this line increase, wait a second, let me put them back. Okay, now if this line increase, okay, if this line number one increase by 2 units, okay, we can increase from, you know, 6 to increase as much as 4. If I increase 2, the optimal solution is going to be this point. So the objective function value is going to be different. We can easily compute the objective function value by using the current objective function value, which is 171.37 plus 2 units increase in equation number one multiplied by the shadow price of 717 of the first constraint. So the shadow price for a constraint implies the marginal increase or decrease of the objective function value by increase or decrease 1 unit of the resource given by that constraint. So if we, for example, decrease 2 units of equation number one, okay, see, we can decrease as much as 3. Okay, so if I decrease by 2, so what's my new objective function value? So essentially what I'm saying is, if I have my point over here, okay, I decrease two units. My objective function line going to go down because my intersection of line 1 line 2 is at this point. So this objective function line going to move down over here, okay? So I have a new solution. Anytime when the bounding constraint right hand side changed, the solution going to be different. The solution going to move up and down. At the same time, the objective function value is going to change. How much the objective function value is going to change? We can easily figure that out by using the current optimal solution 171.37. In this case, we decrease 2 units of 6 from 6 to 4. So the new objective function value is going to be 171.37 minus 2 times 717. So it's 14.27. So 171.37 minus 2 times 717 give you the new optimal solution. Okay? And the same logic applied to equation number 2. Increase or decrease, you adjust the line number 2, line number 2 correspondingly, and then the solution is going to be different. Okay? And how much difference is going to be? Again, it's given by number of units adjusted within the upper and lower limits by the corresponding shadow price. So again, the shadow price implies marginal contribution of that resource to the optimal objective function value. Okay, so you can directly compute or update the objective function value without actually know what is a new optimal solution. We do not need to know the optimal solution, but we know the objective function value. How do we know the optimal solution? Again, use the new right-hand side, okay, of that equation number one, for example, work with equation number two, figure out the intersection again, as we did before. Okay, but many times it may not be necessary. So just keep in mind. So there's an easy way we can figure out the new objective function value by using the information provided by the sensitivity report without actually spending time to figure out the new optimal solution. Okay, one situation when the right hand side change is, we provided lower and upper limits. What happened if the line, you know, the right hand side moves beyond that limits? When the objective function line, when the right hand side changes beyond, you know, the limits provided, the feasible region is going to be totally different. So in this case, for example, line number one right now over here become redundant. Okay, so it does not have effect for the problem. Okay, but when this line go down, you know, too much, and then can see this line and the new line may, you know, become infeasible. See if line number one goes to down over here, so line number one feasible downward, but line number four feasible upward, you're going to have a gap in between. So in that situation, you are not going to get a feasible solution. So that's the situation we demonstrated over here. And you look at the decrease, increase. So summarize the situation, the effect of sale price and equation number two. So we repeat the process. Summarize the results for changes in equation number two, and then we look at the effect of equation number three. What happened is equation number three is a non-binding equation. Okay, the constraint three is non-binding. Okay, so in that situation, it doesn't matter how much decrease, but it won't have effect to the optimal solution. Has no effect to the objective function value. So that's what happened. See, the objective function value, no change. The optimal solution has no change. Okay? But if this line moves further beyond the range given, see, beyond the range given, okay? Number 6, for example, I use 8, which is more than 6, okay? And then we have a no feasible region because this line come over here pointing upward. I see I might have a line drawn there. So this line, you know, it's move up, see, further up. See, this line move further up over here right now, pointing outward. And this equation number two pointing downward. So in the middle, you know, it's an infeasible region. You have no way those two regions share commonalities. So no feasible region, no solution. So that's what we talk about here. If you run solver, I actually did it. See, I put a number 7 or 8 over here, and you can see feasibility bounded. So no, that implies no feasible region. Okay. And then equation number 4, and the analysis for equation number 4 pretty much the same as equation number 3. Again, as far as it is within the region, you know, no effect on the optimal solution. But if it is outside, it's going to be different. And I have a question over here. I do not quite understand, you know, from the graph I can't see, you know, why they said the upper bound equal to 5.47. You know, that means the equation number 4 cannot increase more than 1.57. I thought it probably can increase a little bit more than that. So I don't know. So I need to check that on that part. Okay. And over here, as I said, you know, I didn't quite understand that point, so I did some of experiments and provide results over here, so some of you may be able to interpret the meaning of it. So I just leave them over there. I have to think about it further. And again, this one is a summary. I put everything on one page, so you can see, you know, the results. Again, slack, amount of slack for non-binding constraints. So you look at the non-binding constraints, you can see, you know, you got a slack over there. They are non-binding, they have a slack. So what is a slack? Slack refers to amount of right-hand side values you can adjust before the constraint becomes binding. So in this case, slack number 4, slack 3.757 refers to equation number 3 and 4 can increase that much before it becomes binding. So again, you know, you can increase this line up to this point, no more. Otherwise, it's binding. Okay? And this line can increase this much, no more. That's what I mean. A decrease, no problem. So the meaning of slack reflect that definition. For binding constraint, slack is going to be zero all the time. Okay. So, and that's pretty much about the sensitivity analysis. So your assignments should reflect along that respect. So go ahead, you know, three of you in each group. So three, you know, one group make it four, and you kind of swap your answers. You know, just look at your peers' answers and see whether or not you answer the way you're supposed to. Go ahead. Just three of you, you know, one group four. So it may be three of you together, and you know, you may Corey may get it together with Dylan, you know, and Alex. So Dylan, Alex, and Corey, three of you, you know, just sit together and chat your answers. Check your answers for your assignment. See whether or not you follow the rules and you fully understand, and see how they did it, and see whether or not you have any question. Okay, go ahead. Swap your answers and look at your friend's answer, or question by question, just compare your answers with your friends, and then see whether or not you fully understand. That's what I'm asking you to do. The next portion of the class going to cover applications. Okay, so what I mean over here is this. Let me switch to this. Okay, so that's chapter 3. We finished chapter 4. We're going to go back to chapter 3. Okay, and the chapter 3 covers applications. In terms of applications, I look at three textbooks, and I summarize applications in such a way. Let me look at this. Okay, I put them in a couple of categories. You can see the first one going to be make and buy decisions. So a business, for example, can make products reasonably economical. But when the demand pick up, you know, we may subcontract part of the production to somebody else. That's what we call the make-or-buy decision. Because when we buy part of the parts, increase our cost, but if we can still make money, we go for do it. So that's where the cutoff point is going to be. The second category refers to production operations, okay? And a lot of us are going to be in the consulting business. So if you kind of understand, you know, scheduling problems, assignment, workforce assignment problems, you get consultants, you know, you get a different number of projects, and each project requires different number of hours to finish. Each project has a bidding rate, you know, the pay is different. So you probably can work out a better schedule and, you know, get more out of your people. Transportation problems and the shortest path problems. So there are different applications and product mix. You know, we're going to get into those. Okay. And those problems are more visible. So you can actually feel, you know, imagine they're going to happen. And then we get into marketing applications. You look at media selections, marketing research, and then we get into financial applications. You like investment problems, cash flow problems, portfolio selections, and so on. And then we get blending problems. Blending problems refers to you get a gasoline, for example, get a different type of chemicals inside, and then you blend it differently to create different products. So that's what we talk about, blending problems. Or, you know, the feed for chicken, you know, chicken, you know, what kind of chicken food we blend a different type of ingredients to provide the best combination, let the chicken grow into certain weight in certain time, you know, certain type of meat, you know. So that's the blending problems. The last one is data involvement analysis. And we can look at evaluation of a performance of a hospital, a service section, you know, even a university and so on. So that's the different kind of problems we're going to discuss. Now, the way we discuss those is going to be different. So I am not going to give you assignment for each class, but I will email you or put on Blackboard, ask you to read few pages of the application, example or question, you know, so you glide them through before class, take 5 or 10 minutes, and then in class, again, three of you are going to work in a group. Each group going to have a different problem. I'm going to cover the problem first. I'm going to cover example problem in one category of these five, you know, and then I ask each group solve a different problem. And then the group membership going to change. Okay? So the membership change, and then we solve the same problem. That everybody going to learn, you know, this four problem. We got four groups or three groups. We're going to learn three or four problems each time, each class. You'll be able to formulate those three or four problems, and the assignments during the weekend are going to kind of have one or two problems in that category, and you work out, write a full report, okay? And that report is going to include formulate the problem and identify the solution and do the sensitivity analysis, okay? So that's what you're going to do. And because the class exercise, and I expect everybody should be able to, you know, formulate the problems fairly easily, and then again get the solutions, and you know, get the sensitivity analysis should not be a problem. And I have a template of a report. Because we talk about a real report, I do not want kind of a student type of, like, you know, assignments handing to me, and